Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We held him over because where he was going was so important and so good. Gary Ginsberg, website whatstoxic.com, but he is a master at describing very complex things with what I would call enviable lucidity. He just does it so easy that even I can understand it. Gary, now tell us more about the, if you will, the problem where we're getting, if you will, plasticizers in our food. What you said it was fast food. Is it the containers, or what is it in the fast food?
Well, that's exactly the question. Interestingly, it wasn't meat consumption, but it was takeaway fried fish was the trigger in these surveys. It may just be a surrogate or an indicator for takeaway food in general or take-home food in general, but you're right. It's probably related more to the packaging and more to things that come out of cans and jars, large, let's say your average tomato sauce. Now, I know fish doesn't have a lot of tomato sauce with it, but there may be like a Tabasco sauce or something that you have with the fish that would come out of a large can. And these cans have bisphenol A lining in it, and so you're introducing plasticizer from sort of large industrial sized canned goods. So it's known that the more non-fresh vegetables and the more not, but especially vegetables, the more non-fresh vegetables people eat, in other words, canned vegetables or the vegetables that are in boil in a bag kind of, you don't even have to get the pot dirty kind of formulations, those will give you more plasticizer in your diet. The correlations are pretty strong there. So I would say, again, the least amount of packaging when you're eating out. In other words, eat in the restaurant rather than having them put all that hot food into takeaway packaging and then you eat it at home. You're getting extra plasticizer you probably don't need. But the good thing was at least meat was not associated at all, because one concern was that the higher fat meat and dairy might accumulate some of these phthalates, but it was not true. So it's more in the range of what's fresh and what's homemade versus what is coming from a fast food place.
Let me make a couple comments. If you're having fried fish, you're really not getting the benefits of fish other than not having the meat or other things. But the fried fish take on the oil that they're fried in. So you don't get fish oil. You don't get the healthy fish oils when you have fried fish, because you're really getting, the component of the fish that is unhealthy oil from the fry oil rather than from the fish oil.
Well, so, and a lot of times the fish that is used in fried fish, like fish and chips, is often a pollock, which is not very high in omega-3s to start with. So there are much better ways to get omega-3 than fried fish.
Let's go to the last story that I like of the week. Is the allergen of the year in your mouthwash? What does that mean? I should avoid all mouthwash?
No. There's very few brands, but I'll tell you the name of the ingredient to watch out for. So, unfortunately, there isn't enough testing that goes into consumer products, and this is one of these cases where enough people have gone to their dermatologist and saying, I've got this rash, and the dermatologist goes through a bunch of things, and then it started coming out anecdotally at first, but there's enough of a body of evidence that the Dermatology Society actually named this chemical, short for it is MI, or methyl isothiazolidine, as the the allergen of the year for 2013. So the society of where these doctors congregate called it the allergen of the year. And so companies are starting to get rid of it from soaps, and it can still be in your shampoo. It could still be in your lotion. It's a preservative. You know, it doesn't have to be there. I think part of it is that parabens have been phased out of a lot of things because they're possibly endocrine active. So now they're going to other kind of chemistry, and this is pretty irritating and allergenic. And one company has actually put it into mouthwash, which raised an alarm to the point that the New York Times did a write-up on it. And this one woman claims that her whole mouth swelled up. I don't know. I'm not her doctor, so I don't know. But that was a story out of Pennsylvania that this one woman had a huge mouth rash and allergy from using this mouthwash. So I would just say that given that people, you never know who's allergic to something, and you don't want to develop an allergy to this, to look for MI, methyl isothiazolidine, in the ingredients and avoid it.
Well, I'm looking at one of those things, and if you can read the label, if you've got good enough eyes to read the label, it's probably not toxic to you. Meaning these labels are really tough to read, Gary.
They are tough to read. Unfortunately, there are a couple of cases where you never know. I have to tell people chemical names. If you just look for methyl isothiazide, that's probably enough. That you're probably down wrong track, because it may well be that's the chemical that you're screening for. But I agree, reading labels is a problem. You could one thing to do is to go online and look up what you like to wear, what you like to wash with, and look to see the ingredient list online and look for this ingredient there. And then if it does have it, look to switch out to something that doesn't. Because the internet these days is a huge help. You don't have to figure this out in the supermarket with bad lighting and tiny print.
Boy, I like that idea. Gary Ginsberg, whatstoxic.com. Great segment where I learn a lot every week. And again, I learned this time, don't try and just read the labels on the product. Go to the internet before you're going to get it and see if it's got MI in it, methyl iso. And if it does, it's probably got the allergen of 2013, which is seeping in. And another thing I learned, fat, if you will, or if, having fish in a fast food restaurant is probably the worst way of getting the fish. Brain damage to babies correlates in nonstick chemicals. So key is avoiding overheating them, especially if you live in Denmark, where it correlates with some of the congenital abnormalities. And Beijing is trying to do its best to control its air pollution. We'll be right back. No, we won't, because we got more time now. So I'm going to go to Bridget to talk about salt and the dangers of salt. Gary, thanks very much.
Talk to you next week, Mike.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
Bye, Gary.
Bridget, tell me about salt and the dangers of salt. Salt may not be all that bad, said the headline.
Which is what you've been saying for quite some time now. So now there's more research to back that. The researchers looked at 2,642 individuals that were between the ages of 71 and 79, and they followed up with them. They followed them for about 10 years. And what they found is that once they stratified the people's level of sodium intake, they found that mortality rates were lowest in the middle group of those people that had 1,500 to 2,300 milligrams of sodium compared to and that was 31%.
When we come back, Bridget, from the break, when we come back, we'll finish that story on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.
We get it. Who wants to talk about vaginal itching and irritation? Vaginal itching, burning, and irritation can be very embarrassing to talk about, even to your gynecologist. Though this topic can be quite uncomfortable, this vaginal problem could be affecting you, just as it affects millions of other women. Thankfully, there is now a product that can provide you with instant relief. We mean fast, as in relief right now. Prevalief Soothe is a natural, paraben-free, rapidly absorbing lotion that is comfortable and soothing to apply. Prevalief Soothe uses a new, natural soothing peptide complex and is made with natural probiotic technology to support vaginal health. To stop your itching fast, visit Prevalief.com to find out more information and purchase the product for immediate relief from your feminine issues. That's Prevalief.com. Prevalief, for immediate comfort and relief.
Only half of adults in the U.S. get the 2.5 hours per week of aerobic physical activity recommended for health benefits. Walkers are more likely to get the recommended amount. More adults are walking, but better spaces and more places are still needed. Communities can promote walking when they create long-range plans, such as master plans, and design safe streets for walkers. Communities can also ensure sidewalks and paths are in good repair and have easy-to-read signs. Employers can create walking programs, encourage walking breaks and meeting, and identify nearby paths or routes. Increase your physical activity by starting a walking group. Participate in local planning for walking paths and new sidewalks, or work with parents and schools to encourage walking to school where it's safe. For more information, visit www.cdc.gov/vitalsigns.